Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Here's Where It Went Wrong, the podcast where we talk about our favorite things in pop culture, history, and sports, but exclusively focus on the worst aspects of those things. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Andrew Nadeau. Andrew, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. It is fall now. I got to wear a sweater. That is honestly my biggest news, but it was thrilling. It's been good times.
My wife bought pumpkin spice coffee grounds, and yeah. I gotta tell you, tastes awful. So it tastes like fall.
It's, you know what, I am in for the change of season. It's something different, something new. I get to be warm sometimes. You know, I'm all in.
Cold other times.
You have no idea. That's fall. We're just describing seasons to the audience now. We have more content for you guys than this.
Look, I'm locked inside my house. It's nice to have a different view when I look outside of foliage and whatnot. And then it's going to hit Chicago winter, and we definitely still can't go outside, and the view will just be awful.
I think that's it. It's just commitment to like that last grasp of freedom when we know we can still sometimes go outside now, and you know, it's not that bad.
We also have our roaming third co-host today, Michael, who is currently appears to be eating a burrito because he is the king of professionals. I'm trying to vamp until this bite is done.
What was the thought process between I should be chewing while doing an audio only show? Way too close to the mic.
Please
get this awful chewing ASMR.
Do not chew into the mic, Michael. I literally was introducing you, saw you were taking a bite of burrito. It was just like, Jesus Christ.
When it's a quesadilla, buddy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It was a tortilla with meat, cheese, and vegetables.
It's so much more professional. That was our mistake. That's on us.
I thought this was an eating podcast. I don't really know where I am. I haven't slept in like 4 days.
Yeah. You have a new baby. Congratulations.
I have a baby.
King shit.
That's what he calls me.
He's speaking already.
Yeah.
Congrats.
He is. Yeah.
How old is he?
He'll be 2 months next week.
2 months.
So he's a little slow. He started talking last week, but he's getting there.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair. But I'm glad he's already learning internet lingo and how to refer to you. So he's got an online brain just like his daddy.
It's neat. He said earlier that his formula slaps, and instead of crying earlier this morning, he said FML. So he's very modern. He's a very modern baby. That's really what my wife and I were going for.
He's going to be taking over this show in a week. Baby.
Oh, yeah, he will.
Yeah, he'll be our third co-host in a little bit.
He'll also be eating with me. I think next time I'm on this show, I'm going to have a bowl of soup. That's okay. Perhaps jambalaya.
My God.
Perfect. So if you're just tuning in, this is the Eating Corner with Michael, Andrew, and Wynn.
Our main guest today, and I'm so glad we got her on, you know her from The Opposition, Superstore. She is a writer for the Emmys that just happened this past Sunday. We have the very funny Nicole Thurman. Nicole, how you doing?
Hello, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, I'm on top of the world. This is fantastic. I'm great. Having a great time.
We are excited to have you on. We're both huge fans, and this is absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's so nice to be here.
I am also a fan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I like this part of the podcast. It's very nice. It's like
just when it's
fandom?
All just praise and telling you you're the best.
Please
can we
keep
just
it coming.
Do it?
That's the show.
Full hour. Just a full hour of
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
That's how you get guests. Just praise the hell
I'll
out of them for an hour.
You just gotta kiss their ass for an hour, and then they just go, you know, go on their way feeling good. I'm into it.
This is really, like, people pay for therapy, just go on podcasts.
I mean, that's what I do, I'm like, I'm usually crying when I type, like, can I be a guest on your podcast? Like, I'm crying when I'm tweeting it. Can I be a guest on someone's podcast, please? And then people
please
respond.
Just let me on, tell
and
me
then
I'm
they
good.
Give me the, tell me I'm good, tell me about my credits, plug my shit, please.
You're doing so good, those
oh
Emmys.
My God, thank you.
Those Emmys ruled. I'm
absolutely
usually like so hot and cold on award shows. And even though y'all had like the entire world against you, I mean, you had like the like CNN election night coverage, like amount of screens behind you of every celebrity. And like the monologue was so fun. Like the jokes were great. Like really, it was just like a feat. It was
awesome crazy. It was one of those things where it's like, I obviously knew it was coming, but still even watching the Emmys, like watching them, I was like, wow, this like really worked out. Like I didn't know what it was going to be like, because it's insane. Like Jimmy's like, okay, so there's a wall of 150 TVs behind me and it's all famous people on them. I'm like, okay, like what do we do with this? Yeah.
Perfect.
Everything. Every bit, every like the law or the alpaca that came out with Randall Park. I was like, why do we have an alpaca? And then I was like, you know what? That was hilarious. Why not?
Incredible. Jason Bateman pretending to be his own cardboard cutout. Like,
he was so great.
An amazing
bit. He's so funny. Yeah, it was so good. It was great. Yeah. So, yeah, I was glad to be a part of it. It was my first time writing for an award show, and it was so much fun. I would totally do it again in a heartbeat. It was awesome.
But you've got another project coming out, too, right?
Yeah, in a couple days, I don't know when this is playing, but there's a show on HBO Max called Hot, bless whoever that was, someone sneezed.
I'm crossing the screen.
God bless
right
you,
now.
God bless. But anyway,
that was
there's
my
a
wife, sorry.
Show, oh, bless your wife. There's a show called Hot Dog. It's spelled H-A-U-T-E, like haute couture, except for they say it, Hot Dog.
Yes.
It's going to be on HBO Max. It's a dog grooming competition show, and it's actually very cute, and
that
it was
amazing.
Very fun to work on. It's like ridiculous. These dogs, they come in, and then like the groomers make them into like, I don't even know, one person like carved a gorilla butt into a poodle. Or a gorilla face into the butt of a poodle. And I was like, what is this show? It was crazy, but it was super fun. And it's coming out this week. The hosts are great. It was like my first real, like I had been on The Opposition and had written first TV before, but this is like my first writing only gig. So it was really, it's exciting. It's very fun.
That's amazing. Plus, I'm 100% in on this concept. Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely. Everyone's going to watch that.
Yeah.
It's
Matt,
really fun.
Matt Rogers is one of the hosts, correct?
He's like the main host, Matt Rogers is the dude, yeah.
Oh, he's great.
He's
I'm
hilarious.
A huge fan.
Yeah, like the show's gonna be like genuinely funny. Like, I'm not really a reality TV person. And it was funny because like I had never seen Nailed It, and it's kind of like has a Nailed It vibe. And so I was like, what is that show? Like, I watched it for the first time because I was writing a reality show, but I loved this show. Like, I was like, this is actually a reality show that I would watch. I don't watch reality. So it was fun.
The reality shows I go in for are like Great British Bake Off, where everything is just adorable and wholesome. Like, I just want to feel good for an hour without like, oh, somebody had to stab somebody, so we're gonna have to cut for a little while.
Yes.
So no, this is absolutely perfect. Plus dogs, we need this right now. This is what the world needs.
100%. And it was like we actually shot it like in July, so it was pandemic times, but we pretend the pandemic does not exist, so we don't talk about it at all.
Why would you?
Like lighthearted, you know, silly little cute dogs, like little wet dogs shivering getting like their hair cut. It's like it was really, it's just like adorable, feel good, like candy, like it's like the colors are so bright, everything's like very bright about it, so it's gonna be great. It's gonna be fun.
That is fantastic.
So that's coming
I'm
out
so-
this week.
If you don't have HBO Max, get it. Absolutely. I got it recently, and now I'm definitely keeping it for another month so I can watch Hot Dog. So that's awesome. I'm a big fan of this. Mm-hmm. So, Nicole, we had you pick a topic that you love, and what we have settled on is dating.
It's actually funny because I didn't think of it as a topic that I love. I just thought of it as a topic that was ruined because, like, to say I love dating, I feel like my friends would be like, bitch, you're lying. I don't love dating, but I do love love. And I love, right, like, romance, and I love the idea. Like, I love having a partner. So, yes, I guess I love dating when done right. I love dating, yes.
When done properly, right, dating, mm-hmm, rules.
Yeah.
And we'll get into how it could be messed up in a bit.
And we have a lot
but
on
let's
that.
Talk
yeah.
about... Yeah. Oh, for sure. So let's do like a kind of a brief thing about like what your feelings, what your relationship with dating is, how you feel about it. Personally, I married the girl that I met when I was a senior in high school, which is disgusting.
Great move.
You mentioned that before we started recording, and I literally thought you were joking. But now I'm realizing you were serious. And that I love that, though. I love it. I mean, but 100%. It's crazy, but I love it.
Yeah, no, we met when we were seniors in high school, and we've been going strong ever since. However, that just means my, like, other than her, my dating pool is limited to, like, high school relationships, which, in case you didn't know, are inherently bad.
Right. So did you guys never broke up the whole time you've been together?
No. I don't know.
Because I have a friend who's been with her husband since they were 15, and they broke up for like a year and a half. But that was like, you know, in college for a year and a half, that's it. But they had a break, so they at least dated like one other person in their life. But they've been together since they were 15. So you're kind of the same, though.
Yeah. No, we're the same. We started dating, and then the whole summer we're like, well, we're obviously going to break up when we go to college because we're going to separate colleges. So like, we're going to like have a fun summer, and then it's done. And then we just never canceled it. We completely dropped through on our whole plan, and here we are like 10 years later. So my dating ends at my wife Ashlyn when I was 18 till when I finally was smart enough to propose many years later. So that was my like regular dating history, other than like husband wife dates, but gross. So that's me.
No thank you. I prefer sexy dates that end blackout drunk. No, I'm sure.
Who does? I mean, that's most pandemic dates these days between two people, right?
Right. Probably. Yeah.
Or I'm just revealing too much.
I know. Like, is that your pandemic dating life with your wife? You got to find a way to do it somehow. To have fun somehow. So I have a good in the past history with dating until like a certain point in my life, which is like why I say it got ruined. But I always had like regular, I was like a very serial monogamous. I had a lot of boyfriends. I met them all organically, you know, through friends at parties, like just regular ways. I'm trying to think what else. The longest relationship I had was with my undergraduate math teacher. He was like a TA and he was young. Gotcha. And on the first day of class, I was like, that's the dude for me. Like,
you were Babe Ruth. You called your shot. Yeah. You were just like that one right there.
I pointed
there.
At it. I hit a home run. And then I dated him through all of college. Yeah. And that was like, I feel like that was like, I mean, I have had other relationships since then. But that was like the most pure, like, back in the day, old school, just like love of like real love, I think. But we broke up. But yeah. So that was like, you know, I had normal dating history.
Right. And this isn't Stern. You don't have to go any deeper than just an overview.
Yeah, right. That's an overview of it. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So great. Andrew, any I know you're currently, but beforehand, what is your experiences?
Honestly, it was mostly the same as Nicole's, where it was, you know, a relationship. It wasn't much going around. I want to say most of my relationships.
I was about to say you also dated her.
That was
TA.
It. Same guy. No, I feel like most of my relationships were dumb is probably the right word where it was like, okay, cool, we're gonna do this, and there's maybe some good stuff, and this is, you know, way more than it should be, and it was just a few of those. Now I've been with Anna, who of course you know, for 3.5 years, and I am not allowed to reveal any more personal details about her than that, ever. So this has made a career in comedy a fantastic choice. Yeah.
That's hilarious. Why was she? Did she have like a rule? She's like, don't say a word about me on your podcast.
It's in anything.
But, or can you not say?
No, it's just she's like a professional. She has work where that you have to actually be in a responsible adult. So yeah. It's just a general. You know what?
If
it's
people so found weird. Out she it. Was dating Andrew, it would all come crumbling. I know. Right. Her whole life would just be ruined.
That's so funny.
Michael.
Oh, hi.
What's your experience? I know
you're married with a kid. It
I know
obviously
you're
worked
very
out.
Happy. You have a baby.
Yeah. It was. Let's see. I started using dating apps in like the. Do you? Okay. Here's a question. Do you guys consider MySpace a dating app?
Any website can be a dating app if you don't use it correctly. Is a tweet that I read recently, and I was just like, I need to figure out. I'll put that in the show acknowledgement notes because that is such a great joke.
I love that so much.
But that's how you and Tara met?
No, that's how the girlfriend before Tara I met. So that was like my experience with dating apps before that was when I went to DePaul and I went on my old MySpace profile in good old 2004. Sure.
I just found my MySpace profile, actually. I found the password like last week. Oh, I deleted it immediately. That was the whole reason I was
searching
for it.
It's like a music website.
I've been trying to get into mine. Yeah, I can't get into mine, and I've been trying to find out how to get in so I could freaking erase it, but I can't delete it.
I actually from the internet.
I found out many years ago that I actually got banned from MySpace because I was posting copyrighted music videos, which was thanks for YouTube.
That's hilarious.
Which they let you do because they had no code to stop you from limiting how much multimedia you had in your page. So you go on your friend's page, computer would crash. Remember those days?
Hilarious.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yes. No, but like that was what MySpace was for, showing what emotional songs that you were listening to at the time. Oh, you would put them as like your status. You would put like very sad lyrics and then like your aunt would reach out and be like, you need to call me.
God, my profile.
That's why I got off of Facebook because I was like, if my grandma texts me one more time, like, what's wrong with you? I saw your Facebook status. I was like, you know what? I'm like, we're done with Facebook. That's the end of Facebook for me.
Oh, yeah. Mid-2000s, yeah. I had the MySpace and I had the LiveJournal. So that was just emo. Ooh,
killing it. Absolutely.
I never had the LiveJournal.
When I joined MySpace, I found like a DePaul group or whatever. And this girl was in it and we started messaging. And she was a day younger than me. And that was something to talk about. And then we dated for 2 years. And that was pretty much the first time I used like a dating app. But then I had some family issues where I had to go home, take care of my parents, and wasn't meeting anybody because I was in school full-time, working full-time. I had no life. So I went on Match because they had like a 75% off for like a 90 days or something. So it was like $5 to join. And so I joined because I was like, well, this is the only avenue I'm going to have going for me for a while. And the next morning, I got two winks. So like winks are like pokes on Facebook, but they were like winks on Match.
Ooh, okay, they're sexy pokes.
Recently is 2007, this was, and I got two of them. And one was from this, like, woman about twice my age who was, like, a divorcee realtor in my town. And then the other one was the woman that became my wife, who was this really pretty girl who liked to climb and be in caves and wall climb and do all this crazy stuff. Nothing that I enjoy at all. And,
adorable.
I responded to her, and the rest is history.
We're a comedy podcast, but, like, that made my heart flutter.
Yes.
I mean, that made my heart be like,
it's very flutter-worthy. Yeah, it is pretty adorable. It's hard to make jokes about that because she saved me.
I'm wondering what that divorcee is up to though right now.
I know.
On the next
she's
episode,
still working for Remax.
I was gonna say we should do like a Maury thing. You should have her on the next episode, like what might have been sliding doors, you know, like
here's where it went wrong trying to date Michael. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, that works. That's good.
I would have been about the same age I think as the kids in her pictures. So that would have been interesting. So wow. I would probably have like stepkids my age.
Stepkids and friends.
And friends, right? Mom goes to bed, I'll hang out with my stepsons and we'll play
it's
catch and tiddlywinks and all the stuff that grown men do.
That's a win-win
there.
Yeah. Two for one. You get friends, you get stepson. What's a three for one? Friends, stepsons, and wife. Why not?
Right, exactly.
That's the dream.
She'd probably sell you a nice house. You get a reasonably priced house. Like, what the hell?
And she had all the great deals, all the good hookups. She knew where the good school districts were because her kids were also through school and she's a realtor.
We would have had a good home. Yeah, we would have had a really good a mortgage rate. Probably would have had like 3%, something really great like that.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So far, we have dating going fairly well.
Dating's going so fairly
there's
well.
There's nothing
yeah.
that could ever go wrong with dating. And
end of episode.
I've never look, heard dating. A bad dating story, and I think everybody who does it is successful all the time.
Look, dating, wow, dating is fun. Like who doesn't like I? Oh, so you know, pandemic kind of step back. I miss going to the movies. Oh, I miss going God. To a dinner in a movie. Oh, like so that's much. That's like such a basic first best. Date thing, or just a basic date thing in general. But I yeah. miss it so much.
You know why I really like that too? Because I didn't go on a lot of like movie and dinner dates with. I mean, maybe I did with guys, but I can't think of it. But what I love about those dates is it's like right when you're like over talking, you're like, yeah, we done. Like we had a good conversation at dinner and then you go to the movie and you can shut up. And then it gives you something to talk about afterwards too.
Exactly.
So then it's like refills your
yeah, it refills mm-hmm. the tank. You're
it's
right.
great for an introvert because you're like, okay, I'm done. Now I have a headache from talking to you all at dinner. So then you go to the movie and then you have more to talk about. You refill the tank.
Yeah, yeah. You could just like afterwards, just like, how good yeah. is Tom Hanks, right?
Yeah. That's, you just say that over and over again until you reach your door and then you're done.
You just say
Tom Hanks
is great
in the movie, but Tom Hanks is great.
Tom Hanks is, how good is Tom Hanks?
You could say that if you're any movie. You can go see Dark Knight yeah. after the theater. You'd be like, you know what? How great is Tom Hanks?
And oh my God, he's so good.
I
you could talk
on a
about
whole
forever.
Rant about it. I love who doesn't love Tom Hanks?
Terrorists.
I went to a screening with him and he was talking after the screening and I was like, I love you. He's just the most beautiful human and he's so smart. I mean, he's Tom Hanks. You know,
Tom
talk
Hanks.
About that.
This is the new episode.
All my
I do miss
doing
that.
All my dates yeah. are basically talking about Tom Hanks.
If only I got a wink from Tom Hanks, you know?
I know.
Stupid I know. Rita Wilson.
Yeah. I know, she stole him from all of us.
The worst, the
like,
best.
Like 1988, they've been together forever. Like, we never had a chance.
Maybe I can go out with, what's his name, son's name? Chaz, the rapper.
Oh, yeah.
Chaz, yeah. It's
I think Colin. He would like a black woman, so why not?
Colin's married. Chaz, I believe, is a bachelor mm-hmm. on the prom.
I'm pretty sure he's probably single. He seems like a single man.
I will say, apparently Tom Hanks has, like, a brother that's almost identical that
oh, really?
Voices Woody in projects that Tom Hanks doesn't want to voice Woody.
Really? That is amazing.
That's like Clint Howard.
Yes. They have, like, the exact same, like, face and look. Like, the Scrubs did, like, a whole thing, like, Turner and Hooch parody, where, like, Tom
right.
Hanks' brother ended up, like, reciting a bunch of lines from
That's
Turner
hilarious.
And Hooch.
Did,
like,
That's amazing.
Also, I love that...
Tim
Hunks? Yeah, so I was gonna say, is it Tim?
That we're saying, like, the selling point of Tom Hanks is his looks. Like, that's why we're all in on Tom Hanks. That's if you look
oh, yeah.
like him.
Is that,
that's the same thing.
Is that not why
right.
we love Tom
that,
Hanks?
It's not the acting, no. It's the really...
It's Jim it. Hanks, by the way.
Jim Hanks.
Is it really?
Voices, yes.
Jim and
in
Tom?
In every low budget Disney trying to cash in on Toy Story thing, they get Jim Hanks in there because they can't pay Tom Hanks' fee.
No, we need to do this
That's
one with
amazing.
The celebrity siblings. I want to see a Rocky with Frank Stallone.
I was thinking about that though. Like, there are some unfortunate situations where the sibling looks like a, either like a Kmart version of
right.
the celebrity, or like, or just like a really busted person from like I don't know Idaho or something. Like, they always like it's like a, there's never a good way to be a sibling of a famous person.
Clint
I
Howard,
like.
I feel like got the worst of it. Clint Howard got.
I mean, prime example.
Yeah.
At least he's. I mean, he was an actor though. He worked.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like,
yeah, no. Clint Howard works consistently.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But those, I mean, like, yeah, there's some siblings out there where you're like, oh dang, the gene pool real hit real hard on one of them, and then the other one just kind of skipped. It was like whatever.
They don't get the millions of dollars to really.
Right.
You anyway, a lot
yeah.
of people are like prettier when they're rich. That's
oh my
just,
God. That's so real.
Like,
I get so sick of people being like, how is this celebrity look so good at 50 years old? I'm like, they're rich. They're rich. I mean, it's so much easier.
They have their own trainer. They have their own chef. They haven't been stressed in 30 years. Like, you'd be
exactly.
gorgeous too.
Exactly. If you didn't have to think about rent ever, you'd be chill as fuck. Like,
right.
you'd be
oh,
good.
Yeah. You don't
if
even know how to pay
I
a
had
bill
to...
because you don't have to worry about everyday things.
Right. Exactly.
If every
Absolutely.
Night I had a good night's sleep, I'd be gorgeous.
I had a friend who once worked with Tommy Lee Jones, and he had to drive himself to a gig once, and on his way to the gig, this was somewhere in New York, he had to stop at a toll booth, and he didn't know what to do. So he like
oh
didn't
Tommy
know
Lee Tommy Lee Jones
to like throw change in the toll. This was a long time. So he didn't know to like throw change
so
in the toll booth. He like had to call my friend and ask. She was like the assistant. Ask what to do. And she said, yeah, put like 50 cents in.
Wow.
Look, if we, okay, quick tangent. I'll probably end up taking this out because who knows if this is cool to talk about. But I had a friend that worked for Val Kilmer. And apparently Val Kilmer is an eccentric. That's the knows he's an eccentric. That's fine. But every Valentine's Day, he calls it Val Entine's Day and like goes around and pretends like it's his day and like expects to get and give gifts.
I kind of want to be his best friend now.
Yikes. I mean, I'm kind of into that. My birthday's on Halloween, so I just pretend Halloween is my day. So, I mean, I kind of get that.
What a great birthday. Right? Everyone's it's an amazing dressed birthday. Up, wearing costumes.
It's the best birthday.
You're guaranteed a party every year.
What's that? Pretty exactly. Much, yeah. I don't even have to, I don't plan anything. I just like go and I'm like, this is for me, right? Thank you so much. Great. Yeah.
Thank you for dressing up like Dracula for my birthday.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys are such good friends.
Yeah, exactly. This is so nice of you. I didn't even know this was happening. And they're like, we didn't either.
So dating, we love it. You find somebody, you're with them for a while.
It's the best. It's like when you really like, when you, oh my gosh, when you meet somebody and you have that like that chemistry and you're just like, all you talk about is that person and you're just like super into them. That's the best feeling when you're when every time they text you, you get like little happy butterflies. It's the best. Like, when the romance is real, when the feelings are fresh and cool, it's amazing. And then I like everything about dating. Like I like having, I've only lived with one person and it was a bad boyfriend, but it was fun living with him, like making dinner and just like, yeah. I mean, you guys all have this, I'm sure. So it's like, you know, you get to just like experience like being with another person and chilling. And like, I'm not a really much of a go out person, especially like as I get older, I like don't care about going out at all. Oh, of course. It's just nice to be like, I have my best bud like chilling with me on the couch and we're just like watching TV or whatever. It's like, it's so much fun. It's the best.
Yeah, it's great. And like you got the movies and also that first time you establish banter with somebody that you're interested in. Like
when you get like an inside joke. Yeah, like something happens on the date and then it becomes like your thing.
I'm so glad like, you guys reestablished the adorableness of this because we're just about to ruin it. And I feel like that works better with this big dramatic setup. We love it so much. But no, we're going to ruin it. When
you want to hear one more anecdote about it? I can tell you the first time I ever really made Tara laugh.
Oh, wait, no. Michael has an adorable story about when he first made Tara laugh, and then I'm going and to then we're gonna ruin it. Okay. And then we're going to dive in.
So this was when this was when James Blunt was all over the radio and the television. That guy. And I told her, I was like, what would it be like if James Blunt was a lot more critical? And so I started singing like, you're like a 7. It's true. And she nearly peed herself laughing, and I felt great.
Real talk, James Blunt, I love it.
Yeah, critical James Blunt cracked me up.
One last tangent. I by some happenstance was able to be at the Grammys like the year like that album. No, wait, never mind. I'm going to edit this out. I just remembered it was Gautier and somebody I used to know.
It was somebody else who was at the Grammys.
It was like a one hit thing where he like got, he was drunk and mad every time he went up because he's like, I have other songs.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I gotta look that up.
It's just like going viral for something and you're like, fuck, now I gotta be that person all the time because that's what everybody wants.
It was like for like the pre-Emmys where it's just like not televised. So like he was just like very just like in the drinks and he'd go up the stairs and be like, thanks, whatever. And he'd leave. And it was funny every time. He did it like 3 times during that pre-Emmy ceremony. And it was funny every single
one
of those.
It's got to be really haunting to be like a one-hit wonder. For example, like I've actually kept up on the band A-ha, you know, Take On Me. And if you get their greatest hits album, it's a double CD. They have maintained stadium-like status their entire career and, like, the rest of the world. But because they're not known here, we just consider them a one-hit wonder gone. But, like, they're actually one of, like, the best-selling European bands of all time.
You counted on restaurants. Now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery, too. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food is on its way. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget, that's code BLUEWIRE for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
I'm gonna backtrack here just to be. We have dated.
Yes.
We love dating. We love meeting someone. We love love. We love falling in love. We love just seeing a person being like, that is a person I can date. However, here's where it went wrong.
Dun, dun,
online dating. Andrew, start us off here.
So there are the thing I love most about this show, obviously, is talking with some of my best friends and favorite comedians. The thing I love second most about the show is doing absurd amounts of research. I had to dig. Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm doing this. So I had to dig into the history, and I thought, well, there's actually a lot of precursor to this. So we're going to go back into the 17th century here to start online dating, because
the
online dating
has
a very tangible. Look, it has a very tangible timeline from the first personal ads. So early 17th century, newspapers appear, and because they've just appeared, there's not really a thing like freedom of the press, so they're pretty heavily regulated, until Britain's Glorious Revolution, and in 1688, and we finally get the first modern newspapers, and like immediately, it starts being abused. 1695, the very first personal ad appears. Which says, a gentleman about 30 years of age that says he has a very good estate would willingly match himself to some good young gentlewoman that has a fortune of £3,000 or thereabouts and will make settlement to content. That is about £300,000 today, by the way. The very first personal ad, he is asking for a woman with £300,000 to marry him.
So
this is the
changed.
Start of internet dating. Before this, it's basically the same. Yeah. Before this, you are meeting by family.
I was going to say.
We're really.
Wow. So we haven't even evolved. That's so crazy.
I just got to say, dating started in like the 1700s. Like that was the first time it wasn't just a transaction between parents and families and like trading cows and whatnot or like status in the region. Like they used to say like. Marriages are for stability. Love is for affairs. Like that was like the whole idea beforehand. Yeah. So dating was new. So pretty much right around the time dating started was around the time they also had freedom of the press, and they immediately were like, "Yeah, let's start using this to fuck
right away."
Yeah, right. Like how many people gonna read this? Okay, let me put something in here. let me put a little something about my £300,000 in here.
I own a large estate, and if you're rich too, let's make this happen.
My estate is very large, if you know what I mean. Wink, you know.
So
I got a large chimney for you.
Hey.
But just like online dating.
So sorry, Andrew.
Please go ahead.
No, I was going to say, sorry, Andrew, we went on a tangent about chimneys and pounds and wink winks.
Hot bits about the newspapers.
Please tell us more about the history.
This is the start. So then we're going to go ahead and jump. Guys, I've got a lot here. We're going to jump ahead to 1727 to illustrate the one-sidedness that continues because a woman decides to post a personal ad. 1727, Helen Morrison posted a personal ad in the Manchester Weekly Journal. So obviously, the mayor had her committed to an asylum.
Because she's like, is it because she's like hysterical because she wants to have an orgasm? Like, is that what that kind of
that was basically it? Yeah, I mean, she wants
it
a relationship, clutched to pearls, committed right away.
That woman's
and
fucking
just like,
nuts.
Right.
They immediately put her into an asylum where they're like, "You just masturbate this out."
Right.
Well, but you got to remember that this is a time period where if you are single past age 21. You're gone. You've got no chance here. So 1748, the first Misconnections ad appears in the General Advertiser.
What are you talking?
Really?
These are such
How
funny.
Old is Craigslist?
This is the original Craigslist. Absolutely, which is why I have this one here.
I love this so
this,
much.
Okay. The line for this first Misconnections is, "Lady, genteelly dressed, whom he saw leading a train of horses. This is to acquaint her that if she is disengaged and inclinable to marry, a gentleman who was on that occasion is desirous of making honorable proposals." This is the first Misconnections, and he is trying so hard. That is so fucking hot.
I like it.
This is the sexiest letter ever written up until 1748.
I'd be down. I wonder if he's still single.
Well, now he is.
So,
right. Yeah, exactly.
So Andrew, I've stole some of your research. So I
please
just
keep going. I was just about
things.
To
so
yeah,
in 1870 they invented the first newspaper for singles called the Matrimonial News. So yes. It began production in San Francisco just after the gold rush. So people now had money and now they wanted to have sex, right. Obviously.
Oh.
Money,
listen,
money.
You get newspapers, sex. You get a couple dollars, you're going to fuck. Well, that's what we're doing. That's what happens.
That's what we're doing here.
That's what we're doing.
So men would pay 25 cents to post. Women post for free, yes. Which means
like
we
club.
Already had like the velvet rope, yeah. Like, who are you with?
Exactly. Ladies night.
I feel like capitalism in general is just a larger and larger scale to get yourself laid.
Oh,
I'm
so
absolutely.
That's
yeah.
All it is.
Absolutely.
We invent our first social network in 1897 when a journalist,
Friendster.
William T. Stead, established the Wedding Ring Circle, which was a matchmaking. So members would join. They could correspond anonymously. And their identities would be revealed when they both agreed to meet. And this was by the circle's controller, is what they called. So they vetted the correspondence, and then, like, they were anonymous. And then the circle's controller would be like, boom, this is who you've been talking to. You two should date.
That's,
wow.
Isn't that, like, wasn't there some, like, reality show that's similar to that right
there
now?
There is.
Yeah, that one
like,
that came out
when
the pandemic started.
And
what was
yeah.
the one where they got married in 30 days?
Right.
Yeah, it was
yeah.
Love at First Sight and The Circle. It's kind of a combination of both of those things, and was also called The Wedding Ring Circle.
Exactly.
So I gotta say, we've been like really doing this for
yeah.
a while.
It's just
now.
Like how
we really like not
like
knowing who we're gonna marry.
And the thing
right,
is,
right.
up until
trying
this point,
mystery.
The vast majority of marriages are put together by familiar arrangements. You are hooked up with family members. This is, in fact, advertising itself.
Yeah.
We're gonna do this for you. So this starts to become almost normalized in the 1910s because of the lonely soldiers of World War I. This is what they're referred to. It starts as pen pals, maybe a bit more. So the Link appears in the UK, which is the UK's first Lonely Hearts Monthly. And they are using this correctly because basically since Henry VIII, who I hope we're going to do an episode on it at some point, has established buggery laws. Which, again, I just want to trash Henry VIII for like 2 or 3 hours. So this is still going on in the 1910s. So the Link appears and people are using coded messages to have gay and lesbian relationships. That men would use codes like musical or unconventional.
That's not really a code.
Yeah. No, I majored in musical theater. That's not a code at all.
That's not a code. That is not a code. No,
it's shut down in 1921, but I applaud how well they're using this and that they really try to end. In fact, things stay fairly shut down in the 1900s until 1967 when the buggery laws were repealed. But actually, things start to change after World War II. This is when you finally start getting people introduced person to person. I've got a friend who'd like to meet you, friend of a friend, instead of familial connections. So things start changing here, and computers are invented, and this is immediately what they're used for. Stanford
of
students.
Course.
When? In the 80s? Or was it
1959.
Yeah, I was like, they were actually
yes,
a little
1950,
bit, yeah.
Right, sorry, 1959 is
okay.
We still got the, like, the, you know, the big punch card programming. So this
gotcha.
Is where it starts. This part is not as interesting, but this is when it starts developing what is going to end up what we have today. It's not until the 1990s when dating sites appear, 1994 with Kiss.com, 1995 with Match.com. And then the big one for me, of course, 1997, J-Date.
It's not old, wow. That's
which
great.
Is when they just realized, hey, people have specific things they might want to search for. By the way, never had luck on J-Date. also, never dated another Jew.
Right.
So.
Well, it's because you were pre-med and then you stopped
that
to
was
do
it.
Comedy. And
the two most Jewish professions in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, comedy's pretty Jewish. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So this is our history. We've got 2000 eHarmony, 2002 Ashley Madison, where it's like, hey, we like dating sites. How about one for cheaters? And I feel like this is the beginning
crazy.
Of the end.
Can I just say, like, Ashley Madison is such like a like boomer and like older person like, you're not going to trick younger, like, millennials, Gen Zers to, like, put your name and email
right.
into the cheaters
right.
database.
Could
like,
you imagine
you're
signing up for the
which
cheaters
Which is why in 2015,
yeah,
Ashley Madison is hacked. Yeah, 2015.
I was about to say, they got hacked a few years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, everybody got exposed.
So,
God. Yeah, I think one of the
also now dating apps in general can be, you can just, anybody can sign up for it. Why did that have to specifically be for cheaters? I didn't get it.
Right.
Well, that's a weird concept.
I'm sure so many people got scammed and blackmailed by being on that website.
For sure.
So that amazing. Basically brings us to today.
Was it the Duggars? Were they the really religious family?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah. One of them was on there, and I thought that was very funny.
Juicy. I love
wow,
that.
Wow. Really?
Well, so we'll skip along the individual release timeline because that basically brings us to today. It just is getting bigger and bigger. It starts being developed. The algorithms get better. They start being able to sort of match based on interest and intent. They start adding personality tests. It really develops to be something where it's not just like, hey, here's a person. Let's see what happens. So that's where we are today. And I would say the more it developed, the more interesting it got, but also like the worse everything was. Is that fair?
100%. That's what I think. I think the more... I don't know when you want me to talk about it being ruined, but I think that the more prevalent it got and the more online people got with a ton of different things, but particularly dating, as a person that dated normally until like 25 and then online dating became like huge. And I think that's when I first remember being on OkCupid when it was like a thing. It was dramatic. It was a dramatic difference in the way people interacted, the way they talked to each other, the way they, the amount of attention they paid to each other. And I think it's only gotten worse from there because of how prevalent the internet apps just generally, like you can be connected to anything and anyone at any given moment. It's just changed it so much.
And I think the anonymity also made it change too. The fact that you don't have to face people, like the shit that I have seen sent to friends of mine, the lewd stuff, the nasty stuff, the just vulgar stuff that they get a lot of the time, just completely disrespectful and without any kindness at all.
That's huge. That's a huge part of it is the anonymity. Is like it really makes it so people don't see each other as people anymore. They're just like so they can just put whatever they want onto the other person without really any caring about what the other person's receiving. A dick pic or whatever it is.
There's no organic growth in a relationship anymore. It's really hard to do that. Like everything's out there now, so you can go at any speed you want, and usually it's a speed that the other person doesn't appreciate, and I feel like it's really made everything very muddled.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, if we want to go super nerd on this, if you want statistics, like let's start with this. 7 in 10 people who online date, according to Pew Research, believe that people are using it to that people are lying, basically. That 7 in 10 believe that the majority of people lie when they are on dating apps. And let's face it, like, is that how does round robin here? What does everyone feel about that? 7 in 10.
I mean, I feel like we also have statistics on the number that were lying and it was not far from that. There were a lot of people that, when do you have those numbers ready? I've got this, we have way too many statistics here, but far too many. For men, it was mostly about the level of success they had in their career. For women, and this is what I thought was interesting, was women claim they were lying when they used old photos. And I am confident that men did the same thing, but did not claim that as they were lying.
I'll tell you, when you say lies, you say men are level of success and their job title. Cause they'll just say like management, consulting, and management means you could be managing a KFC. Sure. You don't know what their job is. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying saying you're playing if you put management. And so like, men are always lying about their job, and like men will post pictures. For some reason, 2018 was the year everybody looked really good. I don't know why. And so everybody posts pictures from 2018. And you know why I know that is because I'll look at the pictures and I'm like, let me go check out their Instagram. And their Instagram, you see it's from 2018. And so the hairline is thick and luscious. And so it changes. Obviously, as we age, like who cares? But why are you doing that?
You know,
and then women, 100% about the bodies, because men are looking at their bodies.
I didn't want to cut you off at all. I was just saying that I wonder if that also is in retrospect of the fact that we have aged 50 years in 2020.
I mean, 100%. I looked at myself a picture of like from like, I don't know, 8 months ago. And I was like, who is that?
Right?
She was cute.
She had no idea what was coming.
She had no idea. Now she got a gray streak on the side of her head. How did this happen?
Yeah, I was going to say, everyone in 2018 looked happy because they're like, oh, we took back the house. Things are going to be different now.
Yeah, right.
We had a moment of relief. Remember from the hellscape.
Oh,
that is,
man.
Yeah. Yeah. God, you're right. That's so real. Yeah. It's a lot of lying. Lying can be such a broad spectrum. It can be like lying by omission, lying by like blatantly lying and like making up a whole personality, make catfishing people, like whatever it is. But yeah, even if you're like posting a picture where it's like, it really isn't what you look like. I just can't imagine like why people would want to do that, because then someone is going to see you and that would feel bad. Right. I feel like, but
like, what's the end game to this?
The dopamine rush of people messaging you're you right. has to be such like a big thing. And then, like, once you're there, you're like, well, surely this won't be that big of a deal, but it always is.
That's why I feel like you need to post your worst photo on a dating site. Not your best, your worst. The one where you look like a goddamn mess, because you're going to look better than that on your date. You're going to be more impressed, and if they respond to you in that photo, you're fine. You got nothing to be worried about.
It's so true.
Post your ugly one.
And it really is a lot about the whole thing has become about the dopamine, because if you think about this, like the prevalence in general of like every social media app is about the rush of getting the likes and getting the attention and going viral or whatever it is, you know? And so it's like, if you're on a dating app, you're doing it. Most people I think are doing it the same way nowadays, where it's just like, they're just doing it for the likes.
Oh, for sure. And if we're going to break it down here, I mean, 71% of online daters, according to this poll, believe it is very important that someone uses recent pictures of themselves. Mm. So that's 71% that, I mean, that would probably fall under the you're lying by omission by using the incorrect photos.
Right, right.
63% say it's very important to state the type of relationship that they're looking for, which I'm sure is another big issue on dating sites.
Lord.
Nicole, please, no, please.
It's just, I think it's particularly bad in New York and LA, obviously. I mean, I say obviously, but that isn't necessarily obvious. But it's like, to me, it's like, I think it's like you meet a lot of people through dating apps. I mean, I to be honest, I don't really use them anymore because it's just not for me. I feel like I'm just an old school person. I'm like, I'm going to meet him at a party. I might meet him on Twitter because I do meet some cuties on Twitter. And I'm going to tell you why I think Twitter is different too. I have like a whole idea of like why that's different than fucking online dating. But
that's why you're here. Please tell us.
Oh my God. But it's like, but it is, I can't even remember what tangent I was going on. What were we talking about? what was the fact you just said?
So I was saying how the type of relationship that you're looking
for. Oh, yeah. Because that's the thing is, like, people do it. I feel like lately I'm seeing more of it. Like, you see a lot of, like, ethically non-monogamous. I mean, if you guys are that, no, I shouldn't judge. But it's like you see a lot more of, like, people will put that, thank God. Because it's like you want to know that before you go into something.
For
like,
sure.
If somebody's ethically non-monogamous, I am exiting out on your profile because it's not for me. I'm just, like, really old school. But it's like there are people that, like, you think that they want to date. But then as soon as they actually go on one or two dates, they realize, like, I saw this on Twitter today, too. Like, I'm too depressed to date. And, like, they all of a sudden are like, wait, I don't want to be dating someone right now. And it's like, you were on a dating app. What were you doing there? Don't be on that if you don't want to be dating somebody. Because I think it's, like, a lot of people, it could just be because they realize they don't have chemistry with the person or whatever it is. But it happens so often that I think it's, like, a lot of people just want to have sex. And that's fine, but you have to say that. You have to.
And, you know,
oh, for sure.
I think another aspect of that is also that people are so used to interactions being online that by the time you actually get to the date and you're in person, you almost, like, don't know what to do. I feel like we're losing a lot of our social skills in an online age. And
And
I feel like that comes out as well. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to respond to the other person. Like the body language, you're not as up on it as you are because you're usually home doing all this. Well,
and looking at the...
So real. I mean, can we talk about like porn and sex? It's like all the same things. It's all so online that it makes people like, it's not, they're not used to
it,
like having that face-to-face real. 100%.
Yeah, that's a huge issue.
And not only is it all there, but it's so abundant. In 2014, Tinder was processing 1 billion swipes a day, now closer to 2 billion. Tinder has made 3 times as many matches as there are people on Earth.
What? How? Like 20 billion matches?
Yeah.
Swipe. How good is their algorithm? Is it just every other person you match with at that rate?
Well,
like, that's
insane. You get to choose. And
some
that's
people
it.
Will just say exactly. Everybody. And some people just swipe right on everyone. I'm so fucking picky. I'm always left, but like some people will just swipe on anyone. Another like non-committal
what a
weird
migraine
thing
of an
do.
App. That's insane.
That's the thing that I think is part of the evolution of it, because originally these profiles were all set up like originally you would like fill out a test in 1959 with IBM, you would fill out a test. You would put it in the mail, you would send it to them, and they would have their supercomputer like process your results and be like, okay, based on your results, you and this person have these similar interests. Here's their information. Would you like to meet? And then like later on, like all the dating sites, you know, eHarmony and Match.com, they would have you fill out personality kind of things. And now it's literally kind of like you're just shopping, you know,
I love it so much when shows up with dates and statistics. This is the most exciting thing in the world for me.
I love it. That's why, because when we were like writing on Twitter, I was like, I bet there's so many good statistics out there about this, because it is heavily researched. And it's also like fascinating because it's like human development, human evolution, like social interpersonal interactions.
There's crazy. There's a ton.
And in fact, it's evolved drastically since COVID, not surprisingly. Yes. And when I was reading up on this, one of the things that I thought was very interesting was that the line for what people considered someone to be date-worthy or undate-worthy shifted. People were saying, well, now it's long distance. That used to be a deal-breaker for me. Now, not anymore. There was one person who, this was, a Vanity Fair article where they were discussing when they finally went on a date with someone who seemed like a great match, and they never saw them again because they didn't take COVID seriously enough. They weren't social distancing. They weren't wearing a mask. It's like, that'd be a deal breaker for me too.
It's like sex.
Can't do that, no. Well,
That's like sex. If somebody doesn't want to wear a condom, then you're like, well, I don't want to date you. You know,
You don't know what they're carrying either way.
Absolutely. And it's changed drastically. And one of the things that was discussed here is that the most important predictors of relationships success are simply unavailable prior to relationships beginning, was a psychologist analysis of dating sites. And so now things have kind of adjusted because you're spending so much more time before that first date phase. And Helen Fisher, an anthropologist, said, catastrophes push us to make our next step in life. If you thought beforehand, oh, I might need a partner. Now it's like, okay, I really need a partner. And if I might be in a bad relationship, it's all like, okay, I got to get out of this relationship. So the numbers just starting in March when lockdown started shot up 50, 60, 70, 80% increase in use between video chatting or general use of dating sites. It's changed so dramatically. But people are getting more creative with how to use it too. It's you know, now you've got to spend a bit more time getting to know each other because that's kind of your only option.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this is before COVID. I do think that it's insane that you could like do on these, because look, if you give your married friends your dating app for a little bit, our eyes light.
I do think they're fascinating.
We get so excited to play on dating apps and just like cosplay like we're single for a little bit. Like, oh, like this person is, and like I just can't imagine. But like it also enters my head of just like, it's so wild to me that you could have these conversations, start them up, and get like, sometimes like I have some friends who get like really kind of like sexual and intimate and everything on these apps before ever a first date. And that just blows my mind.
Because I think it's like, you can talk about the statistics on how the use is going up, and you can talk about how people are using it in different ways, but the success of them, I don't know if it's all that different. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if people are actually meeting each other and then forming like long relationships, or if they're just like forming intimate relationships on the internet, which isn't really a thing, right? I mean,
I'm sure it can be. I'm sure it's enough for some people and not enough for others. And like, you gotta figure out that line. It's also just wild to think that like it used to just be the pina colada song where people are just like putting ads in newspapers to try to cheat on their spouses, and now we have apps just for that.
And not only that, like, how many dating apps are there now? Like, I have a buddy who's on over 10 dating apps, and he's not doing great. He's too bad. The guy's really too uptight. I would love to play with his profile and see if, like, oh, I don't know, I think maybe if you put this in here, you know, you might get some hits, or like from somebody who's in a long term relationship marriage like I am. Like, maybe if you add this, maybe this might. You know, having, I think, a perspective of somebody who's had success in relationships, I think might help some of these folks. But unfortunately, my friend doesn't want that.
Yeah.
But Do the amount of apps make it even harder? I'd imagine it would make
I was going to say, it's a psychology thing. I wonder if you guys saw that in your research, that if people have like a ton of choice, they can't make a choice. Because it's like, if you have a billion options, then you're just like, oh, this one might be good. Especially, I feel like that's maybe more men, but it's also women too. But men are like, well, I mean, but this could be better over here, or I could find someone over here. And I think a lot of times, it is interesting because a lot of times you can get picky. And so like my friend, her mom is the one that matched with her now husband. Which is a little weird. Her mom messaged him for the first time. But it was because it's like she was just like tuned out from it, desensitized to it in a way. And then her mom was like, this dude's great. This dude's a lawyer. This dude's nice. And then they started talking. And then like, now you talk to him. You know, and it worked, which is crazy. But it is... When you have so many choices, you start to just be like, I see nothing because it's too much.
Oh my God. It's like trying to find a movie on Netflix.
I'm just going to say, we went so far to the other end that parents are now arranging marriages again.
I know, right? Right?
Oh God. Is there like an arranged marriage app somewhere in the world?
I'm sure there is.
ArrangeMe.com.
It's got to be. I tried to name like all the dating sites I could off the... I was talking to my buddy the other day and I was like, you know, there's Tinder and Hinge. And plenty of I was just like trying to go through, and I was just like, this is like, it's like a Forrest Gump, like when he's just like naming all the different kinds of shrimp.
Yeah,
like there's just.
I know, and I also think I wanted to point out that when you talked about being on Match is supposed to be a little bit more successful because you pay for it. And I've heard that when you pay for an app, you're a little bit more committed to using it. Hinge has pay options, but like. I had it for a little bit, and then I just was like, I didn't do anything with it.
Yeah, I was wondering, are these apps free?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, they are, but like Hinge, you can pay to get like a premium membership, so you can like see it differently and go back to people if you realize like, oh, I want to match with them and I didn't match with them the first time. Like, but I think Match.com is more successful because I think, is it monthly payment or is it's more of a commitment.
And then in 2019, Facebook launched its own dating website.
What?
But... Mm-hmm. Yeah, Facebook has a dating website on it. However, great. I'm very curious about how Twitter you feel is the better option.
I do think that the next guy I meet is going to be a friend of a friend or on Twitter. And I don't, the reason why I say this is because, I have a thing though, I think, where I don't particularly enjoy the like peacocking, look how sexy I am vibe of anything.
Nope.
Like, yeah. I don't like that. I want to just like have fun, be normal, be chill, and then end up being like, I like you, you know? And like, I think Twitter is exactly that because you see like an Avi, you see someone's face and then you see what they do for a living in their little bio, you know, for the most part.
Oh yeah.
And then you can be like mutuals and then you end up like seeing all of these, like they're so funny and smart and you see like what their personality really is. Like you can see me talking about like, I'm nasty. I ate pickles for dinner last night. You know, like, and then like Nicole is kind of nasty, but I like it. It's funny. You know what I mean? Like it's like stuff like that.
Yeah,
and I think it's like, you can see all the different sides of somebody and see more of their humor. And so then like the last person I had a crush on and went on dates with, but anyway, it was on Twitter. And it was because I was like, I saw this and I thought you were so funny. And then he was like, thanks. And we started talking, you know, it's like, I think it's much more of an attractive way to meet people because you can meet them for like more well-rounded stuff. Not just like, I know the best spot in town for tacos, which is like every fucking Hinge profile.
It's always the place by their apartment.
Yeah, like, bitch, I don't want to go eat tacos by your place in fucking Wilshire, Montana, wherever that even is. Like, it's just not, to me, it's like more what you can see more of a big picture of someone because they're more expressive on there.
Interesting. For me, dating someone off of Twitter would be like finding someone in hell and like Satan is setting the two of you up.
Yeah.
That is my take on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because it's like there's just the worst of the worst on Twitter, but then there's like people like, I mean, like all of us follow each other and it's like, I like all of you guys. And I know that like when you DM me I mean, you're all in relationship, but I mean, when you all talk to me, I like have fun talking to you and enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like, I feel like we're friends, even though we've never met. And the reason we feel like that is because we see each other's like vibes, I think. But also, yes, it is hell and horrible.
It is a very polarizing website, I will say that.
It's both. It's both, baby. Sometimes I love it.
It can be a lot of things.
But it's true.
It can be two things.
I wouldn't know these guys. I wouldn't have my writing gigs. I wouldn't have my shows without these guys. So, yeah, it's true.
Exactly. 100. That's how I got the Emmys, was from Twitter. It's just like one of those things where it's like, all my newest friends that I really like that know me for me who I am now are from Twitter. You know, it's interesting.
That is amazing.
Yeah, no, it's definitely like that's how I got all of my comedy connections, friends that are not like people that I do stand up with or like met working at like Second City. I mean, it's all Twitter. I mean, that's just how this whole thing is now, which, you know, it's kind of like dating. You're really hoping that you just get that one really lucky break.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's not perfect, but to me, it's so much more attractive. Like, I just find I'll get crushes on people all the time just because I think they're so funny or smart or like active and posting the right type of political things or whatever it is. Like, I feel like that's much more attractive. Like, there's just something that to me is lacking about dating apps because it's so peacocky, presentational, and like a lot of times, like, you know, is my bare chest and my dumb tattoos wanna, you know, it's like, no. Like,
that guy sounds too self-aware.
Yeah, right? There's one, yeah. Oh, there are some guys where I'm like, I don't, that's too much body, too much everything. I am boring. I eat pickles for dinner. We can't do this.
You're really stressing the pickles for dinner thing. And I gotta say,
it was last night. It was a dark night last night. I was just like, I can't get up.
Garlic pickles. It's all about the garlic dill pickles.
Yes.
Oh, so good.
We've gone through the history of evolution of dating from personal ads, from putting a woman in an asylum because she just wanted to have a nice lunch.
that weirdo.
To sending your information to IBM for a computer that takes up an entire warehouse to just tell you should date the girl down the street. to apps. To Facebook getting in it, because why not? Facebook ruined every aspect of our lives.
Right, what is the Facebook dating app? Can I ask you real quick?
Yeah. It's probably bad. I've never been on
really
it.
You really want Mark Zuckerberg to be in charge of your dating life? Sorry, I just...
No.
So,
I hope
so
it's
we
called
have
Datebook.
All this bad, which brings me to the next section of our show, in their defense. And for that, we're going to recruit our good friend Andrew to try to tell us why online dating is not actually the fucking worst.
So, God, I actually, before the show, I thought, oh, this is good. Finally, I have to do an in their defense where I actually have some positive experience. But no, by the end of this, you guys convinced me. It's fucking awful. but no, look, I met my girlfriend 3.5 years ago on OkCupid. By the way, just to give you guys some background to explain this general personality that you see here on this podcast, we had to postpone our first date because I had a statistics competition.
So cute. You little nerd.
What does that even
little
mean?
Little mathlete.
What were the odds of that date happening?
she works in statistics. It worked out perfect. This is why she had to postpone. It's like, oh, cool, I work amazing in statistics. So perfect match, best thing ever.
Quick thing. Incredible. If you didn't place in that competition, would you still have dated
you? I didn't, actually. I did not win this at all. But still, it was... So this is some personal background, because Wen and I talked about this and decided we should do this. And then I realized all of my personal background is horrifically embarrassing. But you know what? Part of the job. Doing it anyway.
Who's isn't, man? Who's isn't?
People should know who we are if they're going to listen to our podcast.
They got to do it. So, no, but it has worked out well for me. It's I met someone. I don't like bars. I don't like I'm a comedian. I go up and talk. I'm good talking to people. but this worked so much better for me. I got to put down my information. I got to find people who liked my information. But I also did better because I chose the sites where you're revealing a lot more about yourself. I didn't do well on Tinder. I did well on the ones where you fill out a 200-question survey and I get actually reveal something. For people that are a bit socially awkward, that want to find other socially awkward people, or people like myself that are just like, I just don't have the energy. There's a lot going on. It has worked out well for me. I mean, I'm in a good relationship. And I like that I got to connect with people that already had an idea of who I was beforehand. Obviously, you go on plenty of dates that don't work, but for the ones that do, it's nice. It's nice to go in and feel like you have some idea what you're going into instead of just a random blind date where it's like, hey, this friend thinks you guys might not suck together. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to suck with most people.
I did have a really bad setup date because I'm always so down to get set up, but I had a really bad one and I was like, whoosh, maybe I should be not so down to do this.
Yeah, it's just like, is this what you think of me?
I have never had a good setup in my life. I've been set up 3 times. They were 3 of the worst dates I've ever had.
Isn't that weird? It's like when people say, oh, like you look so much like this person, and you look at the person, you're like, Jesus Christ, like that's what you think I look like.
One of them was set up by my dad. My dad set me up with a girl he worked with, and that was no.
Set up dates are how you find out that the people that know you do not know.
The date was a Sugar Ray concert, so I at least want to say that because that makes it funny.
I love that so much.
She really liked Sugar Ray, so I got her Sugar Ray tickets because they were in town, and I went to a Sugar Ray show.
Wow, that'd be fun.
So,
yeah. No.
All right, well, no, that adds to my in their defense. In their defense, you don't have to go to a Sugar Ray concert to get a date.
Oh, I didn't have to find her there. We went there together. It was a whole. All right.
Well, Michael's
thing.
Making bad decisions for different reasons.
That's amazing.
Right. Amazing. Yeah.
That's a great story, though. We love it.
I don't need help.
You chose to go to a Sugar Ray concert.
Yeah, and I once actually also took a girl. She really liked them, so I bought VIP tickets, but it was Three Doors Down, Nickelback.
Oh, that's a rough night.
They were VIP. Like, we had our own waiter at the show. Like, it was...
Was he just serving, like, Natty Light and crying? He's like, this sucks.
They served, like, cold hamburgers and Bud Light.
Hey, quick question,
though. There was no date, too.
Quick question, Michael. If you went crazy, would she still call you Superman?
Gambit.
Hey, I'm dabbing.
You can't see it, guys, but me and Nicole are dancing.
I hear you.
The level of excitement here is off the charts.
That's a good Smash Mouth song. I like that song. It's a good Smash Mouth song.
That's hilarious.
Well, I think that it covers just about everything. We've got the history of dating. We have online dating. We have a rough in their defense, which has worked out well for me, even though I get why you all don't love it. And I would say that just about wraps it up. What do you guys think?
I think it does. Andrew, Michael, y'all are both in successful relationships that started online. I guess there has to be, you know, something to it. And I'll also add, just to kind of like get that out there, because it is an important part of online dating culture, is that for a lot of people, it does provide a safe space for people in the LGBTQ communities, especially people in areas where they cannot be openly themselves. And that is a big reason why sites like Grindr and a few others blew up, because it served a market that needed it. So I will say those reasons are why online dating has a good defense. However,
still kind of sucks.
Absolutely. I think that's actually That's a really good defense, because a lot of online dating is hard for people in like any kind of marginalized category. I mean, Black women, it's hard. And so it's like sometimes it's nice to just like be able to know people's preferences, or to be able to have a whole site dedicated to that. So that's a great point. I get it a little bit.
I was prepared to do the defense if no one else volunteered. I did my research despite what Andrew says.
I think that's the best point of the show.
It is.
By the way,
when passed this off to me, he said, look, you know, you're in a relationship that you met online. You should do it in their defense, knowing he had this banger to drop as soon as I was done with my crap. I'm happy now.
He's like, sure, you open for me, pal.
Yours was good, though, because I feel like if you are socially, you don't want to go to bars, you don't want to meet people, it's really hard to talk to people. Some people are extremely introverted and they don't want to be out, try that. It's not easy for them. So I get it. But I think like everybody else, y'all
just
can
make some
go
effort.
To a dinner party
just
and like look
up.
Around. Yeah.
Dinner parties.
Got friends.
The rest of you got friends and you can introduce them to me, and I am still single and I am available. Yeah. Just joking.
All right, guys. That was awesome. I love this episode. Yeah. This is a lot of fun.
It was fun. Very fun.
Nicole, thanks for coming on so much. Hot Dog comes out September 24th on HBO Max. Check it out. It's going to be fantastic. Michael, thanks for joining us today. Michael, you also have a quick project. Do you want to plug the game?
I will plug the game. So I'm writing for a game called Antisocial Skills with an amazing group of people, including John Roy, Jenny Zagrino, Mike Kaplan, Abby Crutchfield, and Jason Marcus. John Reinman is the head writer on it. He used to work for Leno and Fallon. And it's a really cool game. It's a Zoom game where basically you get funny situations and you have to come up with funny answers, either with the pre-written answers that are given to you, or you come up with something crazy on your own. And sometimes they add a challenge to it, like do it in this impression or do it while holding this or that. So it's really a lot of fun. So it's Antisocial Skills, AS Skills on Twitter. And I'm home_halfway on Twitter. Don't follow me. It's not worth your time, but definitely get the game.
Bullshit.
Awesome. Andrew, thank you, buddy. This has been
it's been a lot of fun, as always. I mean, we're going to be back next week. But yeah, thank you all for coming. Wen, thank you, as always, for being here. This was a lot of fun. And we will see you all again next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert.